Welcome into episode 10 of the Semi Products podcast. I'd like to begin this week with a reading from our late friend Jordan, I guess in memory of our late friend Jordan, who deleted himself from fantasy sports over the weekend. RIP in peace, Jordan. In the week that has passed since I introduced everyone to the podcast, we have had a team lose by 0.1, hinged on three Seahawks players playing on Monday Night Football, a win by 3 points thanks to what I would thought would be a good wide receiver matchup in the battle of City of Oregon City, a win by 4 because I was told by a Raiders fan to play a Chief that ended up playing about 3 snaps in that game, and finally a team with 2 byes in their starting roster wins over a team that did indeed have a full roster. And after all that, Jared keeps a 1-game lead over the top over Scott because of the 10th of a point win. I don't start Latavius, and Scooter takes second place. Austin puts the final nail in Jordan's coffin and then goes ahead and buries him while he was at it. Duncan, quote, has a positive outlook on fantasy life, somehow seeing even though he lost by 0.1, he still holds a playoff spot. And Luke gets to laugh at all of us for not taking his Jimmy Graham trades, and he holds the final playoff spot as well, that jackass. So, fantasy life sucks, life kind of sucks, people sucks, and the worst part of it all is we get some reprieve from everything when we get to watch the Browns play on Thursday Night Football, so that's awesome. Now on the podcast, we bring in Brandon, Chief Financial Officer of Silence of the Michael Sam. Welcome to the podcast for the first time on your own, Brandon.
Hey, thanks. Happy to be here.
Yes.
The Browns game is going to be great, man. I don't know what you're talking about. Color rush.
They're going to win, right? Obviously, they're the best team in the NFL.
They probably will. What do the Browns do for color rush jerseys, though?
They are wearing all white because the NFL is, they suck.
That makes more sense.
I guess we'll get to your loss later, but where would you like to begin out of the two other matchups I've given you this week? You've got myself versus Pip or Lucas versus Duncan.
Let's start with Luke. Why not? Luke and Duncan.
All right. So we have Luke versus Duncan, saved by Lev Bell against Marcus and Recreation. Luke got the win last week over Pip, having to deal with a ton of bye weeks from very key pieces over his team, carried to the end by Jimmy Graham, getting the ball a lot more over Christine Michael, which is very surprising. Pretty good weeks from Tyrell Williams and T.Y. Hilton, making up from bad weeks from Booker, Smith, and Emmanuel Sanders. Duncan, bless his soul, loses out to Jared by a tenth of a point. This is well within the margin of error for stat changes, so I would keep an eye out on that for the rest of the week. A big miss for Duncan was sitting Mike Wallace while Devontae Parker only had 2 receptions. His big three, Marcus, Zeke, and Melvin Gordon, combining for 84 points, getting only 67 from the rest of his team, which is really impressive. The move from Luck to Marcus has really paid off for Duncan's team so much better. Brandon, you finally get your chance to lay the fire on your roommate's fantasy team. What do you think about his matchup here?
I just have to talk about Duncan's matchup. That's among the most remarkable things I think I've ever seen. I cannot imagine having watched that game. I think I would have melted. It's remarkable that he wasn't the one who quit fantasy, though. That's kind of soft by Jordan, but anyways,
I mean, Jordan's been a lot worse, and Duncan still has a chance at a playoff spot, so I can see why.
Duncan still has hope, I guess. So, as we go into this matchup, the one thing I did, you know, notice right off the bat, very cool to have a matchup between two teams with team names with their players on their team. Nice little tidbit there.
Good fun fact.
It's a shout-out Pip fun fact there. But as we look at this game, I think this is going to be a really interesting one, very close. I think both these teams are probably going to put up a lot of points. But there are things about Duncan's team that I would be slightly worried about. Mike Wallace, I mean, I know he's going against the Browns, but, like, that he's just such a boomer bust player, you know. Last week he had, like, the 98-yard touchdown, and then,
yeah.
I don't know, it's tough to count on a player like that. And I do wonder if, I mean, of course he's going against Cleveland, he's garbage, but, you know, you got to wonder about that. And it's really just, like, having to watch that game for Duncan is probably, having to like, care about the Thursday night game this week is just something that I'm really, I do not envy, to say the least. So, Mike Wallace is going to be an interesting play there. I mean, Melvin Gordon's just been a freak this year, which is really remarkable to go from just 0 touchdowns last year to, well, he might be leading the league in touchdowns this year. I don't even really know, but
I think he is.
He's having a crazy year. Getting him and Zeke has really just carried Duncan's team, which is cool. And then it's always great to see Marcus actually doing well. You know, I think we're all pretty happy here with that. So going to be I don't know. I do like Duncan's team. You know, he's got a lot of players that you like to root for, which is fun. But still, you got to wonder, coming back from that loss last week, I just it's just tough. Moving over to Luke's team, Broncos insider here. I'm not super sure that Devontae Booker is going to get that many touches this week. I know they really like this Capri. They like this Capri fella quite a lot. He had a really nice 69-yard touchdown last week, like we all watched.
Yep.
I know Luke's kind of he's probably not going to admit it, but I'm sure he's not super confident about Devontae Booker this week. Although New Orleans has, of course, been garbage, but I mean, even as a Broncos fan, I don't like watching our offense, so that's got to be tough. And having Devontae Booker and Emmanuel Sanders just sounds stressful, because the Broncos offense can just be so putrid sometimes, especially since C.J. Anderson went out. So that'll be interesting to look at for Luke. The one thing, A.J. Green going against the New York Giants, you know, no one talks about the Giants being a good defense, but if you look at a big analytics guy over here, there's a Football Outsiders, they do this stuff called DVOA, where it's basically just like value above average. It's almost like war for baseball, but so essentially the Giants have been the third best team in the league against number one receivers. So I find that very interesting. So I'm not 100% sure that A.J. Green's gonna light it up as much as he has been. But, you know, it's just something to watch for. And then Jimmy Graham, maybe if he's got to keep doing that only one hand thing. That seems to be working really quite well.
Has anyone told him that he can use two hands? It's not like basketball where you can't double dribble or whatever.
Yeah, so I've been wondering about that. Do you think he has there's got to be a contract incentive, right, for one-handed catches? There's got to be something. But both those two touchdowns in that game last weekend were really remarkable. And I think we're all just very upset that we didn't get Jimmy Graham for I don't even remember what Luke was trading. Luke was selling Jimmy Graham for freaking a bag of peanuts. So
there were many trades sent where the main piece of it was Jimmy Graham for Zach Ertz on my team, and I was really close to doing it, and I think it was just like a couple other pieces that I was just like, I don't know. I think Michael Thomas was involved in some of them. And
that's understandable.
Yeah. It probably would have worked out in the end for both of us. I don't think it's worked out for both of us now because Zach Ertz has been trash. So
yeah, and Jimmy Graham is suddenly amazing. It is actually, I will say, it's quite impressive that Luke still barely won that game with all those points that Jimmy Graham had last week. And then another thing with Luke's team, Gio Bernard against the Giants. I mean, that Giants defense isn't good, but from some of the numbers that I've seen, they're good against number one receivers and they're good against catching running backs. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Luke probably knows this, but we'll see how those go. So he also doesn't have a kicker, which he says he will pick one up. So breaking news here, Luke will pick up a kicker.
Do you think he drops Vinatieri even though he's been the number two kicker? Because it is very Luke to just kind of drop a kicker, pick up a kicker. Do you think he sticks with Vinatieri?
It's very Luke. He'll probably drop him on Saturday morning or Sunday morning when just no one. He'll probably drop him at a weird time on Saturday night when no one's really paying attention, and then pick up some kicker and then just immediately pick up Vinatieri next week or something.
Yeah.
Something crazy, something ratty like that. But as far as this matchup goes, I think this has to be your game of the week, essentially. We've got two teams hunting for a playoff spot here, and both teams will be okay if they lose, but if you win this game, you're in a lot better shape. I think it's going to be a good one. I think it's going to be really close. I'm excited to watch Luke I'm hoping to get to watch Luke kind of sweat it out this weekend. Let's see, what do we have? We have any Monday night players? Definitely. It doesn't look like it. Should be a good one. I think, unfortunately, I'll probably have to go with Luke. There are players on Duncan's team that I really want to like, but it seems like things have almost just been going too well for too long. You know, like Melvin Gordon's eventually not going to have three touchdowns. You know, you'd think maybe, but that is tough though. Gosh, Zeke Elliott's still just such a man.
He's been a monster.
He's been such a monster.
You add from his top three to four with Jordy Nelson this week against Tennessee, who's going to probably get 37 looks his way for targets.
Yeah,
I mean,
seriously.
He could have a massive, just top
really
heavy week, and it could carry him.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Mohamed Sanu, though? I need to go to the Atlanta Insider here.
So my thought is that since Julio had a big week on Thursday, he's set to have kind of a dud this week. I do think that the Philly defense is down since their bye week after they held Pittsburgh to like 3 points or whatever it was.
Yeah,
right before their bye.
That game was crazy.
That defense, everyone's like, oh my gosh, wow, oh yeah, the Eagles have such a good defense. And since then, they've been pretty bad. I think Sanu is set for a pretty solid week. If I was Duncan, I would think more about playing Devontae Parker with the Chargers defense rather than Mike Wallace, just even though, I mean, one, you don't have to watch Baltimore-Cleveland. Two, I think Devontae Parker is set to have a bigger week against the Chargers. But, you know, that's just me. My big fun fact kind of game to watch, Gigantes and the Bengalos on Monday night is going to be a fun one to watch just because the guys.
A lot of things going on there.
Yeah, a lot of things going on. But then New England-Seattle Sunday night. Duncan, obviously, Seattle heavy on his roster. This could either be another 3-3 thriller or it could be 35-33 at halftime. Hawks have given up 24 or more points in 3 of the last 4 weeks after their bye, so the Pats could have a big night at home, that one. Not to mention the whole Balghazi thing that's gone on between these two teams.
True.
Both fan bases love the number 12, and they both hate Goodell, so I don't know if they can really come together on this.
Yeah.
It's going to make interesting storylines.
You will say, though, I mean, you know, tis the, political speaking, you'd think it's, got to be year of the Patriots now, right? After the big Trump stuff. So, unfortunate, but guess that's where we're at here.
Isn't it more like the Browns would go undefeated for the rest of the season, sneak into the playoffs, and then win the Super Bowl or something?
That's more
like,
appropriate. Yeah. That'd be more 2016. That'd be more on brand for 2016.
Yeah.
But I do, it is interesting for Duncan here. Him having that playing the Seattle defense, I know they're kind of one of those you start them every time, but against New England on a Sunday night, I don't imagine that going particularly well. Even though that defense is that good, but there's just something about Brady, man. I don't know. It's so annoying to me as a Broncos fan. There's nothing I want more than for Tom Brady to be trash, and he will just never be trash. It'll be the year like 2025, and Tom Brady will still be just throwing 40 touchdowns a year. It's so absurd to me, but.
Yeah,
it's exciting. So, I will say, I think I'm going to stick with picking Luke here. I think he's got the more solid team. He's got, I don't know. I think he's just it just seems like it's that time of year where Luke's team just starts winning like 4 games in a row, and then all of a sudden he wins the whole thing again. So, I hate to say it, but I think it's true. But if he doesn't pick up a kicker, who knows? So maybe I'll just like maybe I can like roofie him this weekend, or is that illegal yet? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not going to – I think I'm going to erase that part from the pod just in case there's any,
legal
ramifications.
We'll cut that.
We'll cut that bit out.
We'll cut that.
Even without a kicker right now, he's projected to still win.
Yeah.
I think he will pick up a kicker. I don't think he's going to take the Andrew strategy and play guys with a bye. That probably won't work out very often.
I don't know. Worked out pretty well for Andrews.
Yeah, we'll get to that. let's not jump the gun here. I do think Luke wins. I think both teams really solid at running back. Pretty good to okay quarterback matchups for both guys. But I'm going to take Luke by 4.
Yeah, I think this comes down to Devonta Booker. And I want the Broncos offense to be good. I'm just not 100% sold. But the optimist in me will have Luke winning on that one. I don't want to take control of the podcast here. Go on.
Well, next up, it's my matchup against Pip, the $6 million McManus against McNair Bud. So dueling Micks in this one. I lost by 4 on Sunday because at about 9:45, I moved Jeremy Maclin from my bench to my flex over Latavius Murray because of some last-minute advice from our Raider fan, Philip, who was not optimistic about his Raiders playing your Broncos. And even if at like 9:50, I was like, no, that was a mistake. And I put in DeAndre Washington accidentally over Murray. I still would have won by 0.8 points. So that was really frustrating. Not only that, but my comeback, my falling from behind, my comeback, and then my loss, I missed all of it because I was at Autzen calling 7th and 8th graders playing their championship football.
Were you doing some advanced fantasy scouting there?
There's gonna be some guys that will maybe be 3 stars in for the state of Oregon in about 5 or 6 years really.
You're watching your Oregon middle school fantasy team go off.
Yeah, basically had a great week. I had the Millers. It was perfect. I had them on defense.
Wow.
They gave up only six
man.
Points. It was great.
Everyone knows they've been good this year.
Yeah, I know. That's why they won. That's why they're winners. That's why I pick winners. So the zero in my lineup obviously didn't help, even with dueling 21s from Julio and Michael Thomas. Mm-hmm. Pip, on the other hand, had a pretty rough week as well. Allen Hurns went from garbage time hero to zero. Torrey Smith had a below average week, even for him, with only 2 points. Ty Montgomery as a running back and wide receiver as well. The Breeze-Ingram combo against the 49ers was still not enough to carry him to victory against Luke, who really had the exact opposite week that Pete did. Strong wide receivers, tight ends, not great at quarterback and running back.
Sorry, we might have to go a little inside the NBA here. I got to – sorry, give me 1 sec. Hey, Luke, can you hop in? Hey, Rick.
Oh, hi, Luke.
He has to get his basketball equipment on. We have a game in 45 minutes.
There's basketball? I thought – isn't it just like tying your shoes pretty much?
Yeah, I got to put basketball shorts on, compression shorts.
Ugh, nerd.
What a hassle, dude. All right, what are we talking about?
All right, so we're recapping Pip's week, and we're moving into my matchup this week against Pip.
Yeah, I played Pip this week.
Yeah, so what did you think of going against Pip's team, just to get a little bit of a second opinion about that?
I wasn't too worried about it, but then my team did not play well, and the Saints saved his week. I wasn't even going to watch the Monday night game because I figured I had no chance, and then Jimmy Graham, my boy, who I never would ever try to trade, just went off for me.
All right.
Chrissy Michael was terrible. So
yeah, that was very surprising. It was what, 6 carries or 5 carries for 1 yard, and then he got a touchdown in there somehow?
Yeah.
Yeah, going into that, you needed, what, Graham to outscore Michael by 15? I thought there was no way that was going to happen.
Yeah, I wasn't even worried about, like, I wasn't even going to watch it. I just counted it as a loss.
I couldn't understand it. I was very surprised when I saw he was losing, and I didn't watch the Monday night game, so just seeing that Graham kind of went off was also surprising.
So you have, I know you have Michael Thomas.
Yes.
But it sounds like Talib's not going to play.
Interesting.
So it might not be as bad as you would think. Who does Pip have?
Pip in that game has Breeze and Ingram.
Oh, that's right.
So
Breeze at home is pretty good. Hold on. We're about to have to leave.
Oh, boy.
Andrew, say yes or no, dude.
I think we're going to win tonight, Rick.
I don't know. How good is your Hooper team?
That's pretty decent.
Yeah?
I mean, I'm on it, so.
I mean, but you're not good at Hooper.
Oh, shoot. Just fantasy Hooper. Here's Andy. All right, we're back.
All right.
Sorry about that. Time is not one of my strong suits. I didn't really know how long this was going to go, and then I didn't know that we wanted to get going for basketball, and so here we are. So this is going to be probably the world's first podcast while in a car. Has to be, right?
This will be the first episode of the Semi Products podcast from a car, for sure.
Exactly. We're making history here. Perfect.
What do you think about Pip going with Ty Montgomery, running back, wide receiver, at his RB2 over Kristen Michael, who last week had a pretty bad week, 5 carries, 1 yard, 1 touchdown. Do you think that's the smart play against a pretty decent New England defense against the run?
Well, and I know Kristen Michael wasn't Proceis supposed to get a lot of touches this week upcoming as well. So I don't know if that's necessarily a terrible move on Pip's part. And I do like Montgomery. That Packers offense has to move the ball somehow. And if it's not going to be, they don't have like a real running game, so they can run it to the ground. You know, that I actually do like the Titans defense a lot, but I could see them being susceptible to those sort of check down Rodgers passes, and then Montgomery's shifty. So I actually, if I were in Pip's shoes, I think I'd probably make the same decision, but that just, of course, if we both agree on it, that means it's a terrible decision, probably, because that's how fantasy works. So.
Right. Yeah. That's a fair point.
No matter.
Yeah. So what do you think about Cam Newton, Jonathan Stewart, my quarterback running back, going against Kansas City? Kansas City allowed a lot of rushing yards to quarterbacks the past couple weeks. Also, Cam Newton not been playing too well. He's only thrown for 250 yards 3 times so far this year. He's certainly not been his MVP self. Jay Stu had a pretty down week after his 95-yard performance against Arizona against a tough Rams defense. What do you know about the Chiefs, having watched them with the Broncos a couple times a year?
That Chiefs defense is nice, and I know they reactivated Justin Houston this week, so that's definitely something to watch out for. I doubt anyone knows how much he's going to play, but it could definitely make a big difference on their defense. This game's in Carolina, though, right? So I know the Chiefs are one of those teams where there's such a huge difference between how they play at home versus on the road, especially defensively. You definitely think this Kansas City team's been really good, but if you know, last I heard, Nick Foles is playing again. So
I
don't necessarily. Is Smith going to be back?
I think so.
Damn, concussions, man. You just never know. Has he been drinking that Russell Wilson concussion water?
He might be. I drink it all the time, and I don't even play football, so.
You just drink it just for general well-being.
Yeah.
You do wonder if that Kansas City team. It does seem like Carolina's kind of getting back on form, but that defense is just not what it once was, which is really, really peculiar. Because, you know, you think even, I don't know, I felt like most football fans never really thought Josh Norman was that great, but he's really changed from that defense, and now they're kind of trash. So, what I'm trying to say is that could be a high-scoring game, which bodes well for you. And then I do think if it's not a high-scoring game, then I think that'll get you a lot of J-Stew touches at the very least. So, hopefully you can get some breaks there. Justin Houston comes back and could be a different situation. It is interesting, though, that you're also playing Char West against Carolina. So, you know, a little best of both worlds there. You're going to want that to be a high-scoring game, to say the least. I think that'll be that game will, unfortunately, kind of have a lot to do with your success here. Cam Newton makes all those. He can make every play. You know, it's just whether or not he can make every play without, and you know, them actually playing well. It's a little tricky on his part. So one of these days he'll start feeding Kelvin Benjamin. Recently traded Kelvin Benjamin. Hopefully.
That is true. Yeah, I will. I will get to that later in the podcast. Yeah, what do you think about this Denver New Orleans game? Luke mentioned Aqib Talib from Kansas will not play tonight. The Raiders kind of took advantage of him not being there last week, but again, the Raiders ran the ball a lot. What do you see happening in that game? Because again, three players between Pip and I in that matchup.
Yeah, no. I do think it comes a lot. A lot of it will come down to Aqib Talib, which little shout out Pip, fun fact here. Aqib Talib's wife is named Gypsy. So that's kind of fun for you guys. He's probably going to be busy hanging out with Gypsy this weekend. I don't know if he's going to play. The Broncos defense looks so different without him there. I honestly don't even remember the names of that third-string corner they had. Or I guess the dude who became their third-string corner behind Roby and Chris Harris. I'm very worried about this Broncos game. I think the Saints are going to put up a bunch of points, and I just don't think the Broncos are going to be able to answer. I think Michael Thomas is he's kind of the type of receiver that he seems to be the type of guy that gives his Broncos team challenges. He's been playing pretty well. I think he might be probably the best rookie receiver so far, which is now that Fuller really dropped off.
Yeah.
I think he could have a big game, which really sucks for me in my life, but. We'll see. Maybe Aqib Talib will shoot himself in the leg again and come back, and it'll be a story. It'll be a story him and Gypsy will be telling their grandkids about. Hopefully.
Who are you picking in this one?
I think I'm just gonna go with you, man. I just the host who knows. I think Michael Thomas is actually gonna carry you. As much as I don't want to admit it, this Broncos defense has been looking vulnerable recently. They're beat up all over the map. I think Devonta Adams could go off as well because, you know, it's going to be tricky because either Devonta Adams or Ty Montgomery are going to be the people getting the touches in that game, and that really could decide this matchup. I would say I find it more likely that Devonta gets more – I think he'll get more touches than Ty Montgomery, and I think that'll kind of swing this one in your favor.
Yeah, I agree. I also think John Brown and the Cardinals defense against the Niners is going to help me out a lot too. I still think it'll be close just because – teams go off when they play me, so I'm picking myself by four. Our final matchup now, real quick, while you're on your way to your Hooper game, you versus Jordan. That's Silence of the Michael Sam versus Like Mike Evans. Jordan's changed his name again. He now has more team names than wins. We have to talk about your week last week going against Andrew. He had two byes in his lineup. He did move Jay Ajayi into his flex. When did you know that you royally fucked things up?
So I had a very interesting Sunday morning. I was definitely up earlier than I would have liked. Probably time change. Blame it on that. I probably wasn't fully awake. I was kind of scrolling through the tweets. Saw that Carlos Hyde was out, and then so I had the guy Juwan Harris in the lineup, but did a little too much research. Probably saw that Sean Drone got a bunch of receptions the week before. So I thought to myself, half point PPR, Sean Drone could be nice. He's got 0 points, which is sweet. And then I'm pretty sure it was like 3 minutes after I dropped Juwan Harris. Sheffield came out and tweeted that Juwan Harris was starting. So I think that was when I knew that I was going to lose, actually. And so kind of tough stuff. You live and you learn. Don't make fancy decisions too early in the morning is really probably my lesson number one out of that one. I'm still going to blame the time change. It had something to do with it. There's no way it didn't. But it was definitely a humbling loss. I don't know, man. It's just tough. It's just tough stuff. My team's just been garbage. I talk to Luke about this all the time. I look through my draft picks and just like none of my draft picks playing for my team anymore. So it's just been a ragtag bunch. I think we're a great squad though, and I think we might. I'm looking forward to this week. I think this is the big week. I think we return to form this week.
Was it the worst fantasy loss of your life?
Definitely the most embarrassing fantasy loss of my life. So, I mean, especially because, like, the Juwan Harris thing is really just a bad look. It's bad management on my part. I literally did a proactive move to make my team worse on the day of the games. So, that's not what you want to see. If I were the owner of my team, I would be firing myself, the GM of my team.
Wow. So, all right. Interesting.
Yeah, it's brutal, man. It's tough stuff around here.
So, all right. So this week's matchup, Jordan had the low scoring in the league, 22 from Cap, 16 from Tim Hightower. That was it. Nobody else top 10. Three players got less than four. It's bottom of the bottom dollars. You at 3-6. Jordan at 2-7. He's given up on fantasy. He's deleted himself from the league already. It's not even a team. You kind of almost have to win.
I have to win.
What do you think about this week's matchup?
So, just a little interesting tidbit here. Interesting that Jordan's not starting Kaepernick during Veterans Week. So, I don't know. Respect the troops and all, Jordan. Good job by you. But I'm terrified of David Johnson here. That Niners defense is you might as well have this year's Oregon team playing defense out there. It's just really brutal. I think David Johnson, like whatever he's projected for, he's probably going to score more. I'm pretty sure he's projected for like 30 points. That's definitely something I'm a little worried about. So I think he's going to go off, and I just don't know if anyone on my team, I don't know. I worry. Maybe Larry Fitzgerald will end up playing well, but he's still kind of questionable, and he's also just kind of, old. So
he is old.
That could be a little tricky. Terrell Pryor Sr., though, congrats on the sex. I actually think he'll put on a bit of a show. Always seemed like one of those guys at Ohio State where he just played well when people were watching. So I think a little Thursday night color rush action, he might go off. But that Baltimore team is so boring. But the only thing they're good at is defense. So it's really I don't know. That's not going to be encouraging. I'm hoping to not watch that game. But if I do end up watching it, I know that if I do watch it, Terrell Pryor will play terribly. So that is tough. It is wild, actually, how many players in our matchup are going to be playing on Thursday night.
Yeah, you got to worry about Terrence West. Terrence West and Steve Smith.
Between Jordan and I, if either of us end up watching this Thursday night game, I think that's the real loss for both of us. But beyond that, I really just I don't know what to do with LeGarrette Blount anymore. It's a love hate relationship. When he's on, he's so on, but they can just not give him the ball for just giant stretches of games or of the game. So. That's really something that concerns me. I don't really know how that pass game's going to go. If they get up big early, which definitely could happen with Tommy B, but Seattle defense will probably keep them in the game, and they're not exactly easy to run against. So that'll definitely be challenging. I'm starting Rashad Jennings, which is just so sad. If you had told me at the beginning of the year that he wasn't in the league, I probably would have believed you because I feel like he's like. I feel like he was a good fantasy player when we were 13, but I might be making that up. So that'll be interesting. I'm actually very excited Spencer Ware is back, but the concussion stuff, it's like he Gosh, you just never know. The one thing I do need is a big game from Roberto Aguayo. Maybe I can trade him for his little brother. I'll pull Ricky in. But I think I'm the only person who still believes in him. I think he can get some big kicks. So maybe he'll put in a few 55-yarders and I can squeak out here. I went with the pick up the defense, whoever's playing Minnesota strategy, because, you know, you got to figure they just can't really run the ball anymore. And
yeah, I want to ask, I think this is the ballsiest defensive matchup I've ever seen. You with the Redskins against Minnesota, and then Jordan going Chargers against Miami.
Yeah, Chargers,
that one really gets me, because that's got -4 written all over it, really, for both teams.
That Chargers defense, he's literally going to be relying on, like, Joey Bosa to make plays. So, I don't know. I also do wonder if Jordan just, like, saw that the Chargers defense put up a bunch of points last week, because pouring out, but Marcus kind of had a gave away a few touchdowns there.
I mean,
went for the big pickup. But, good.
Well, it's just they got 14 fantasy points last week. They scored 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and a fumble return. That means with their points and all of the yards that they gave up, it essentially knocked out the fumble return. A fumble returned and an interception, because the touchdowns are 12 on their own. So out of the 2 interceptions, that's 4 points, and the fumble return is another 5. Yeah. That's not good.
It wasn't like a great defensive performance as much as it was a sloppy offensive performance. We should both just bench the rest of our team and just play defenses only, presumably. Defense kickers only, that'd probably be the most appropriate way to settle this one.
Yeah, that puts you in a huge advantage for not having to go against David Johnson, too.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe I'll talk to Jordan about that and see what he can do. I do unfortunately think that I really don't like my team, for one. Everyone's hurt. I still have Marcus Wheaton on my team. I don't know if he even plays anymore. Really glad I held on to Tony Romo, though, now that he's back in practice. But he'll probably not be playing this week. I don't see myself winning this one, unfortunately. And Jordan, if you're still out there, still doing okay, Know that I'm here for you, and that I will accept a loss so that you can like fantasy football again. So you're welcome.
Interesting. I think it's interesting when you look at both of the receivers in your guys' matchup. You both have a really solid number one, and then Jordan's got 2 old reliable veterans. You have an old reliable veteran as well, and then you also have the only good Cleveland Brown in Terrell Pryor, who is very likely going to not play well on Thursday night. It's not the prettiest matchup. I'm actually calling a tie. I think 88 all. I think these teams are so bad that neither of you will actually end up winning.
That would just be so beyond appropriate.
It would be great.
Maybe that's what we need. You know, it is the year of the tie. So.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, thanks, Brandon. Good luck in your Hooper game.
Thanks, man. We actually just got here, so it worked out well.
Oh, awesome. Great timing.
Mess, but looking forward to it.
So it's about this time that we bring in a second guest, but this week we tried to bring on some of the teams that haven't been on in a while. Everybody seemed to be busy, just feeling really bad about life. So I'm going to go ahead and take this one myself. I'll promise to be as fair as I possibly can. Let's begin with Andrew versus Tim. That's Gurley, You Can't Be Serious versus Demaryius Targaryen. Andrew got the win of the year with 2 byes. Jay Ajayi coming in to run out of nowhere to become a fantasy stud. Matt Forte is the only reliable Jet to have on your fantasy roster, it seems like. It's just about the second most unbelievable thing to happen this week. Tim, on the other hand, wins the Battle of Medford, led by Aaron Rodgers, who's on a tear to prove that running backs are not needed in the NFL at all. Antonio Brown is a whole lot better when Big Ben is throwing to him. And former running back LeSean McCoy was pretty good as well. More on that trade later. Looking to this week, Andrew's only bye is the Lions defense. DeAndre Hopkins is back. DeSean Jackson is going to be challenging the only good part of the Vikings that Sam Bradford hasn't ruined yet. It's their defense. And Tim gets a new frontman in Carlos Hyde and Darren Sproles. Not rolling with the 2 tight end train, going with Chris Hogan against the Hawks defense, while hoping the new tag team of Quincy Enema and Kelvin Benjamin can rack up some points. So what do I like in this one? Felipe Rios threw for 275 and two touchdowns against a not-great Titans offense. I can't even imagine what Rodgers is going to put up. He had his lowest passing yards total since Starks and Lacy went down against the Falcons, was 246, had four passing touchdowns, also rushed for 60 yards. Really, the best thing to happen to the Packers offense has been losing those running backs. Brown, Benjamin, Enema is a really solid top two and a decent third option at wide receiver. Enema has become Pickpatrick's favorite target, assuming that it won't be Bryce Petty who plays on Sunday. That could probably be bad news for Brandon Marshall as well, still with only one touchdown this season. After all of the buys, you have to hope that the Texans are ready to get things right with Brock Osweiler and see that he starts moving the ball downfield and, most importantly, spreads it around. He's been forcing it a lot to Hopkins, 9 targets week 6 against Indy and then 9 in the last 2 weeks that they played before their bye. I'm looking more to this Thursday night game against the Titans for the Jags defense. I think that's going to be what happens on Sunday. Spread the ball around, lots of touchdowns, open up the run game. Hopkins probably going to get the biggest volume for wide receivers for Andrew. Jackson, a really tough matchup against the Vikings, and Tavon Austin just isn't a good fantasy option. I think that the trade that Tim made boosts his running back options from one really good one to now two decent ones, assuming they can get in and get some big scoring plays, not to mention Brown and Benjamin teaming up together. I think Tim's got this one, and he wins by 10. Next up, Scott versus Fronik. That's Hokeback Mountain versus Full Hauschka. Scott stole a win from me because of some collusion from between Raider fans. I know this, trust me. Pip went to Scott for advice when I asked him who I should start, Macklin or Demaryius, and Scott told Pip that I should start Macklin over Latavius, not Demaryius, Latavius, and proving bigly that these Raider fans colluded together, lock them up. Lock them up. Do it. Anyway, somehow Kenny Britt remembered that he is indeed a football player. He scored late. DeMarco scored late as well. And I guess Davante Adams scored in between them. This was, again, all of that madness I was mentioning because I was at Autzen Stadium calling youth football for some reason. Fronik loses the battle of Medford. Crabtree and McKinnon were held back pretty well. Raiders going with the run game more than the pass. McKinnon, 7 carries for 8 yards, really only beat out for worst running back week by Christine Michael. Wasn't a bad week when you score 91, but I guess it is kind of bad enough for these teams to decide to trade between the two of them. Great timing since they won't have to play each other until the playoffs, and that's really only assuming Tim gets in. Trade-wise, looking at this one, I think Fronik won the trade. Getting McCoy, who's now healthy, is a huge part of the Bills' offense, while Alshon Jeffrey averages 5.5 receptions and 73 yards, is a bigger part of the Bears' passing game now that Jay Cutler's back. Getting those two while only giving up Sproles, who is really a 1B in Philly, and Carlos Hyde, who isn't all that healthy, and he's looking, even though if he comes back, he's going to have to beat time back from DeJuan Harris, who's been playing really well with Hyde out. That to me just kind of turns into a 2-for-1. I think Alshon and Benjamin wash each other out. They're both having down seasons, both really reliant on their quarterback. Sorry, that turns into McCoy for Sproles and Hyde as Alshon and Benjamin just kind of wash each other out. For this week, Fronik currently in the playoffs and Scott is holding down the second bye week as of now. Scott has top four players on his roster. Matt Ryan, Greg Olsen, the Vikings defense are all number ones. Murray is the number three running back, and Travis Kelce is the number four tight end. His worst position by far is wide receiver, and his worst player is Willie Snead, averaging 9.8 points a game, only beat out by Gostkowski for lowest average on his team. How Scott ended up with all of that talent and Kenny Britt being his best wide receiver is beyond me. Nick, this week, he can't start McCoy, so I guess this week counts as his wait a week before I play a guy to see how he does week. And that means having to go with McKinnon, one touchdown on the season, only topping 50 yards once since he took over the starting job. And really, he's been splitting pretty heavily with Asiata. And it was Monday night against the Giants defense 4 weeks ago. So what do I like about this week? It's the dueling double tight end train. The Gronk and Kyle Rudolph against Olsen and Kelce. Oh boy, it's going to be a good one. Seattle has only given up one touchdown to a tight end this season. Guess who it was? No, guess again. No. Oh, Jordan, you guessed Levine Toilolo? Oh, okay, you got it on the first try then. I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. Yeah, it's Levine fucking Toilolo. Let that sink in for a second. Meanwhile, Washington has given up two really big weeks to tight ends, and they were both in the AFC North. Dennis Pitichips and Tyler Eifert both had touchdowns and 20-point games that week to tight ends. My hot take, Rudolph outscores the Gronk this week. I think Seattle's really going to try and shut him down. What I don't like, it's any of the receivers in this matchup outside of Alshon Jeffrey. Sterling Shepard against Cincy's defense is not a really good matchup, and I'm not really sure if I'm buying into J.J. Nelson being a true number two in Arizona. Obviously, it's a really good matchup against the Niners, and that's great, but he went from 7 targets in the first 7 weeks to 8 in the game against the Panthers, and in that game, Larry Fitz had 10 receptions, and Johnson, the running back, had 7. Obviously, being down, that became a more pass-heavy offense. John Brown, 4 receptions and 1 touchdown in that one. I know their coach said he would be their number two in the offense. I don't really think, I'm not buying it. I still think he's going to be a third option. I think if Brown is healthy or even Johnson in the passing game is going to be a better play than J.J. Nelson. Although, as bad as the Niners' defense is, you have to hope that the Cardinals just don't turn to the run game early, seeing as the Cardinals' defense is a lot better than the Saints' defense last week, where the Niners were able to still score and keep passing games, passing plays in play for that team as the game got later. I think the Cardinals shut this down. This becomes a run-heavy game, really. Looking at Scott's side, Robinson has a really tough matchup against Houston. We've seen that pass defense is really tough on number one receivers. Snead has a tough one against Denver as well, and he's already the third option in that one. Obviously, the Saints are going to be constantly in pass mode, seeing as Denver should be scoring a lot in this game for both teams. Again, no Aqib Talib in that one, so that does open the door. I think it opens it more for Cooks and Michael Thomas rather than Snead, although you never really know. Snead last week, pull up the stats here, 3 receptions for 36 yards. So a pretty decent week from Snead. I would expect about the same from him. And then Kenny Britt against the Jets defense. Jets 25th against opponents' wide receivers so far. And Britt projected 9.8, which is under his average. And it sounds about right to me for what's going to happen this week against the Jets, especially on the road for a team from L.A. traveling all the way across to the East Coast to play in the morning. I think that's a tough matchup there. So both have the dueling tight end train, as I mentioned. Both of them have one tight end with a really tough matchup. Again, for Scott, that's Greg Olsen against Kansas City. The Chiefs have not given up a touchdown against a tight end so far this season. Never more than 14 points, and that was against Pittsburgh in week 4. Since then, it's been about an average of 6.5, 7, maybe. So I think Olsen's got a big week at, not a big week ahead of him, a tough matchup ahead of him. Again, as do I think most of the Panthers, although being at home, I'm not sure how that really changes anything. The Panthers have been a total anomaly this season from what they were last season. In the end, though, I think Nick has the slightly better potential at wide receiver, but Scott has the better matchups for his top 3, Matty Ice, Miller, and DeMarco, and I think they carry him to victory in a tight one. I'm taking Scott by 3 to 5 points, somewhere in that range. And finally, Jared versus Austin. A Rivers runs through it versus Bend It Like Beckham Jr. I see this game as my personal game of the week. I know Brandon has a different choice. His is the Luke matchup against Duncan. That is a good matchup. I think this one is slightly more important, seeing as you've got the 1 and 3 team going against each other. Jared got the win by 0.1 points. Mike Evans had the best catch of the weekend and went off on Thursday Night Football. Dak with a great game, and probably a good thing he didn't have to go with Russell on Monday night, or the panic mode would have been through the roof with about only would have been a 2-point win if all things stay the same, but I'm sure Jared would have panicked his way through that one. I know I wouldn't have been able to take that pressure. Just a tenth of a point is tight enough, but then having to climb back into the game, not good. And Todd Gurley struggled in a close game against the Panthers, and somehow against all odds, Cole Beasley keeps scoring touchdowns. I really don't get it. Austin in the battle for City of Oregon City came out on top, a squeaky win over Jordan. All of the guys he had on bye to deal with and work around, and it took Jordan putting a league low to get the win. That is a huge win for Austin to move to 6-3 and move into a tie for third place. The biggest difference was at wide receivers coming through the Warsh mess that both teams had at running back, tight end, and flex. It was a real downer for the battle for the City of Oregon City, but Austin will take the win and holding on to a playoff spot. I guarantee it. It's a huge win for him. This week, Jared hopes to keep his number one spot. He's going to have to do it with a fully loaded Bend It Like Beckham team. Brady, Jeremy Hill, Jordan Reed, all back from their bye weeks, not to mention possibly Randall Cobb. Jared goes back to starting Dangerous Wilson and having to go down to Chris Ivory and $5 CJ Fedordix. What do you think about this one, Rick? Well, Nick, where to start? This week, I really think Jared hopes to keep his number one spot. What do you think about this one, Nick? Well, Rick, where to start? Tom Brady being back is going to be a huge boost from Austin, who survived with Eli Manning last week and got really lucky. I think we're going to learn a lot about Tom Brady and how he is managing being an aging quarterback. He's obviously got the skills to dominate the teams that are in his division twice a year. He doesn't face defensives like the Seahawks on a regular basis. It's generally tight games in the AFC Championship game and then the best team that comes out of the NFC, which isn't always the team with the best defense except for Super Bowl 49, which was a really good close Super Bowl game. I think the Seahawks defense has gotten better at this point, and I think it's really going to show a lot about Brady, more of who he is as an in real life quarterback than a fantasy quarterback. But I really think that the Seahawks are going to try and dominate the pass game and go after those weak options that he has. I mean, Gronk and Edelman, that's I don't really like that one too much. I know Chris Hogan is an option. You can't like him as a fantasy option too great this week. Not sure what I think about Tim going with that one. Moving on, we again heard from Brandon and Luke. No Aqib Talib for Denver, which is great news for Brandon Cooks. Stephon Diggs should have another big week against him against Washington. I think Bradford throwing all of those like 15, 20 times that he did to him, again, 13 receptions for Diggs last week, I think that's really going to help rebuild their relationship as Diggs was kind of slowing down from that big start he had at the start of the season. I think that's going to rebuild that relationship and work into some balls thrown downfield more, as that was kind of a big complaint that Vikings fans were having during that game, was why is Bradford throwing everything down low? It's five-yard gains. So I think that game, new offensive coordinator, kind of regroup. Let's go to our number one guy. We'll kind of slow things down and we'll rebuild. And I think this week against Washington is a great chance for that. Also in that game, how does Jordan Reed play against the Viking defense that has not allowed a touchdown to a tight end so far this season? That's going to be really interesting as Reed has started to really pick his game up after that concussion. I like the Rams D against Pickpatrick as well, and the New York Jets. I know the Rams defense traveling to New York in that one, but still, I mean, Fitzpatrick is so bad. You can't not start a defense against him. For Jared, Todd Gurley has to carry his running backs. Ivory was suitable last week against the Jags, but Houston is a whole different monster. If the Rams can get Gurley going early, look out, because I don't know if I can really trust Chris Ivory this week against Houston. He's averaging 4.2 a game. He had 107 yards on 18 carries against Jacksonville last week. I believe he had a fumble. Yeah, he did have a fumble. He finished with 9.2 points. So you're going to need essentially a week like that again against Houston, and he just hasn't had him in him so far. Mike Evans and anyone in the Buccaneers-Bears game should be, I think, the first legit shootout we get with a Bears game this season. I've mentioned it a couple times. I think this game against the Bears is going to be a shootout. It hasn't happened yet, as both teams kind of stoop to new lows, and everyone just kind of goes, oh, God, the Bears are playing again? Ugh. They are pretty terrible, though. But Jameis, I think, is going to have what it takes to light up the Bears at home. I really like Mike Evans. I like any Buccaneer receiver this week for Week 10. I think with the run game being as depleted as it is, Doug Martin, still not healthy. He's got the questionable tag on him right now, limited to practice on Wednesday. So not too sure what to make about that one. I think it's going to be pass heavy. I think Jameis lights up the Bears this week. Mike Evans, any Bucs receiver is a good play. Looking at flex, Cordell Patterson or Pierre Garçon. I think those are some interesting decisions. Both are essentially kind of like the same guy in different offenses. I would lean more to Cordell Patterson just because you don't have to worry about Garçon getting lost with DeSean Jackson against Minnesota's defense. I know it's a home game for Washington. I would lean more Cordell in that one. Again, they're both equally boom or bust guys. It's just you kind of want to avoid the best defense in the NFL, especially in a matchup that I think is going to be really tight and you're going to need all the points that you can get. In the end, it's going to be a close one. I'm going to go for the upset here. I'm going to go Austin moving to 7-3, dropping Jared to 8-2. Possibly Austin jumps over Duncan if my prediction and his matchup comes out, and staying pace with Scott, who I think wins this week as well. And I think that's going to be key. And the race for that second bye spot, I think, is going to get a lot tighter when we come back for week 11. And we see how these games go this weekend. Thanks again for listening to the Semi Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. If you need any more help with your own fantasy lineup, listen this Sunday morning at 8 a.m. in Eugene on 95.3 The Score to Fantasy Football Today. You guys will have all of the last-minute advice you will need to set the best lineup that you can in your matchup. Not to mention the latest active and inactive information from around the league, last-minute ads you might be able to make, and so much more. If you can't listen, be sure to follow them on Twitter at CBS Fantasy and use the hashtag FFT for all of your fantasy football questions. Thanks again. This has been the Semi Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. Best of luck to you in your matchup this upcoming week.